Praise the Lord. Very glad to be here this evening with my lovely wife, Nancy. Do you have anything you want to share before we start?
Well, I'd like to say hello, everyone, and just that we are really grateful to be here. You know, God is, it just seems that we are hearing a message of need, and we were singing, you know, little by little, God is changing us. But there is a process that I have to allow God to do that for me. And that seems to be one of the key things about relationship with the Lord. And it's in him to me. He's never going to force anything on us. You know, he's given us free will, and he wants us to choose. Superior than third this way. So I would just encourage us that we would choose that to serve God. And it's not just serving him by, doing good work, but it's serving him by being obedient to his commandments. And that is the key thing. So God bless you and thank you.
I would just like to pray before I start. I always think that's a good idea for me personally. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity. We want to thank you for the ability to break the bread of life. We thank you for the opportunity to look into the mysteries of God, the revelation that you are bringing forth to the church in this hour. An hour of great need, a hour of great tribulation, an hour, Father, of great glory when we look at it from the side of God. For it is the time that you will bring forth your remnant of people, those that you call your sons. It is a time, Father, for us to make our calling and an election sure, that we might be able to participate in that last confrontation of darkness and the forces of hell. So, Lord, I present my mind to you tonight, and I ask that my thoughts be your thoughts. I present my emotions to you, Lord, that my emotions will be your emotions. I present my desires, Lord, that they might express what is on your heart concerning us and the time in which we live. So we just thank you for this opportunity to break the bread of life. Feed us with your word, that we might walk away full, and that we might walk away with food that will give us the energy in life to overcome. We want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Very nice to be here with you again. Praise the Lord. As is my resume, I'm going to talk to you about the tabernacle, because the tabernacle is the key to the mystery of God. If you understand the tabernacle, then you can begin to discern God. You can begin to understand the mysteries of God. You can begin to translate out of the spiritual realm into this natural realm that gives us the ability to overcome. And seven times in the first two books of the Bible, I believe it is, he says to us, "He that overcometh." Hallelujah. Well, that means I have something to do. That means I have something that he is looking at me to accomplish. Hallelujah. And that is the thought that we have to have as a people. We have to understand that there is something that God is delegating to humanity to do. Hallelujah. You remember the little story of Jesus when he was coming to the end of his journey, when he was coming to the end of his time. He said in his prayer, and I believe it's in John 17, You can look it up if you wish and correct me if I'm wrong. But he says, I have done the job you have given me to do. Hallelujah. But the work wasn't finished. He says, I have finished my part of it. I have done what I needed to do. But he said, then he turns around and he bequeaths the apostles to do yet more. Hallelujah. So there was something that he did that enabled the disciples to do what they would need to do. And of course, we know from history that and the Bible that they were to unravel and they were to demonstrate the reality of God working with man. Hallelujah. Or maybe I should say man working with God. Hallelujah. And in that same chapter of John 17, he not only gave that commission to his disciples, but he says, and they that believe on me through their word. Well, maybe we should look those scriptures up so I'm not pulling your leg or taking advantage of you. John 17, and we'll look in the down in that that verse there, chapter. It says down in verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Now, the importance of that scripture is that Jesus qualified them to be where it was that he is. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. And in John 14, he told them, I am going to prepare a place for you that you might be what? Where I am. Not where he was going to be. Not where he had been. And yet he was still alive, standing there in the midst of them, right? Hallelujah. And he was saying, I'm here, but I'm somewhere else. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place that God is offering to us as humans to fulfill and to do what is necessary. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you see the equality of environment? Huh? They are not of the world. Now, they have not yet been born again. Yes, it's on. They had not yet been born again. They had not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. But God was prophesying to them that they would be able to come into a position of relationship with a living God in the same way that Jesus Christ walking in and amongst them was in relationship to the Father. Hallelujah. And what was that relationship? What was that relationship? Hallelujah. He says, I do nothing on my own. Jesus says, I do nothing on my own. Can you say that yet? Huh? I don't think so. At least I can't. I don't say anything on my own. That means I have no position to express my thought, my personal thought. Hello? That's what Jesus was telling them. And he's telling now in John 17 that you and I have an opportunity to be in that place. How would you like to be muzzled not to talk unless somebody spoke something that you were to say? Huh? There would be a lot less arguments. There would be a lot less contentions. There would be a lot less mistakes made. But he did not stop there. He says, I not only do not say anything that I do not hear the Father saying, but I do not do anything that I do not see the Father doing. Do you understand? It means that he had a continual position and presence with God. not some sort of supernatural, mystical aspect. In reality, he was seeing and hearing something the disciples were not hearing. So that means when he went to raise that girl from the dead, he did not do it of his own volition. He did not do it because he had compassion. He did not do it because there was something that needed to be done. He saw the Father move to heal her. And he moved with the Father, and the woman was healed. Hallelujah. And there was a demonstration of that when, Peter and John were walking to the temple. And the man there at the door, hallelujah. Silver and gold have I none. But why would they use that terminology? Why would they stop there and do something for that man? Because they had developed and they were now walking in the prophetic utterance that Jesus had prayed over them in John chapter 17. And they were beginning to affiliate and associate with a heavenly reality that was called Jehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the words had the power to heal that man is because it was not their words. It was the word of God to that individual. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And in John chapter 17, no, we say that's the disciples. No. He said, I not only pray for you, but I pray for those who what? Shall believe on me through whose word? His word? Their word. Hallelujah. Do you see the transition? He says, I have given them thy word. Now, that word that he given them had now become their word. Why? How is it going to become their word? How is it going to become their word? Because it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ was the word, and the word was what? Made flesh and what? Walked among us. And John, in one of his gospels, one of his books there, a testimony, he says, we have heard, we have handled, hallelujah, the reality of the living word. Hallelujah. Brethren, God is saying, I'm not just praying for these boys. I'm just not talking to these boys, but I'm giving these boys something that is a viable reality, and it has the totality of eternity in it. Amen. And that eternity is able to be imparted to you and I if we believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the church wants you to think that you have to die and go to heaven. Right? That's your hope, right? Everyone has heaven. Everybody wants to get into heaven. The Bible tells me that heaven wants to get inside of me.
Amen.
It doesn't say that I want to get inside of heaven. Heaven wants to get inside of me. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants not to dwell in a realm of heaven. God wants to dwell inside of humanity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's where God wants to walk. That's where the covenant that he made. Did you understand that? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It says, this is the covenant I will make after those days. I will walk in them. And I will what? Talk in them. Is God walking and talking in you? Hallelujah. Or are you under some sort of covering of God and walking in that covenant? God, that's all well and good, but it's not the totality of what it is that God wants to do for you as an individual who believes upon him. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about eternity, we're talking about a personality. Did you know that? You would be no eternity if there was no God. Hallelujah. So eternity becomes a personality, a viable reality of an individual, hallelujah, that you and I have the ability to relate to. And that is one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came. How would you relate to God as a spirit? How do you describe him? How do you define him? How do you explain him? Hallelujah. It's almost impossible. Well, he's this, and he gives me this funny feeling, and there's this chills that run up and down my back, and blah, 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 blah. Huh? Hallelujah. I can't relate to a spiritual concept, but I can relate to a man. Hallelujah. I can relate to a man. Hallelujah. And that is one of the reasons why Christ Jesus came. The man Jesus was born after the flesh. Hallelujah. Not by the will of man, not by reason of the flesh, but by reason of the will of God. Tell me, how were you born? How were you born? When you were born again, how were you born? Was it man? Was it flesh? What was it? It was by the will of God. Hallelujah. So there was something that was deposited in you that had no connection with this realm in which we live.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we are able to see the ramifications of it as we look at the life of Jesus and the steps that he took, the things that had happened, and the attitude that he had in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he says down here, verse 22, John chapter 17, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Did you hear it? Now, what glory is he talking about? Is it that shiny, effervescent quality of visual manifestation? Is that the kind of glory that he's talking about? Huh? Come on, brethren. I'm just wanting you to think. Hallelujah. No. How do we know it's not that? When you think of the glory of God, what do you think of? Shiny, effervescent, dazzling color, splendor that holds you in a place of awe and admiration. Well, that's the way we had that's the concept I had of it when I became a Christian. Glory was something that shined. Glory was something that radiated. But what was the radiation? What was the shiningness of it? Hello? Hallelujah. And we're given some glimpse into that when he took the two disciples up on the mountain and as a man began to release the hold that he had on the God that was in him. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine such a situation? He began to release the restraint that was on him. Hallelujah. Now, did he just now get it? Absolutely not. It was there all the time. But it was held in check. Hello? But he took the disciples up there, not for their benefit alone, but that it might be known unto us. Because they had to be a witness that man could work in the arena of God, and God could work in man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And survive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as he released that power, hallelujah. Oh my God. When he released that power, it opened a door between time and eternity.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. And out walked Elijah. Huh? And out walked who? Moses. Now why? Moses and Elijah. Why? Why? Why those two individuals? huh? Because Moses gave us the word. So Moses was representative of the word of God. They say that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Hello? Elijah was a man that was filled with the Spirit. Hello? Hallelujah. Elijah did not see death. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's a chariot that came down. It wasn't a chariot thing, but it was a vehicle by which God utilized a symbolic form to give us an understanding that man could get from earth to heaven without dying.
Amen.
Now, I don't love God because I'm afraid of dying. I love God for who and what He is and what He wants to give me, because He has a desire in His heart for me to come to a position of relationship with Him that He Himself can fellowship with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He says, and the glory. Well, I'll tell you. Go back up to verse 5. Hallelujah.
John
17, verse 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self. So, self, or the nature of God, is defined as a glory. Hallelujah. Have you ever witnessed a person being born again? Have you ever witnessed it? Have you ever seen their countenance physically change? Hallelujah. One time we were in a home fellowship meeting, and this woman came in, a very hard woman, had a hard, hard life. Hallelujah. Living in sin and degradation and all manner of wickedness. Hallelujah. And the word of God came and began to minister to her soul. And she fell to the floor and began to confess her sin. And her face went down on the floor, and she began to confess her sin, and she began to ask God for forgiveness. I want to tell you, when she got up off that floor, you could not recognize the woman. She was not the same woman. Her countenance had changed. Her physical countenance had changed the conformation of her face. It was softer, it was sweeter, it was more alive, and there was a glow. There was a glow about her countenance, hallelujah, that blessed all of us, hallelujah. So she didn't only get blessed, we got blessed. Why would there be such an extremity of change? Because there is a reality to the essence and the aspect of a nature that we call God. Hallelujah. He says, give me the glory of with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before what? Hallelujah. Before the world was. What are we talking about? What kind of glory is that? It is the power of Almighty Jehovah, my God, to have the ability just to create things. Hallelujah. Come on. John chapter 17 is talking about a particular word that he had, that he gave to his disciples, and whom his disciples were going to give to those that would believe on his name. Name means nature. Hallelujah. You know, I love some of the African names. Your African names have a meaning. They're not just names. They're not just names. John, Harry, Dick, Joy, or whatever the case may be. They have meaning. They have substance to it. They have something of a destiny that is programmed into the name. Hello? Hallelujah. I remember one time we were in Nigeria, and there was this woman that came to us, and she was very sick. She had been married for a while. Now she was with child, and she was having complications with her pregnancy. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a lot of things going on in that arena. There was witchcraft being worked against her. And I was traveling with a brother by the name of Mark Yancey. And Mark Yancey was a professional nurse at one time. And he's always diagnosing people. And he diagnosed this woman as tubal pregnancy. Now, do you know what that means? Huh? It means death for the child, death for the woman, more likely. Hallelujah. But in that, we found out the reason for it. We found out what was going on, not only in her private life with her husband and her family, because there was a demand upon her to have a bride price. And when we were in Nigeria at that time, they were very poor people. There, this was maybe 30 years ago. They were very poor people. And they agreed to a bride price, but not the traditional marriage. Right? Because the church was teaching them that traditional marriage was a no-no. Hallelujah. Which is in fact the way it should be. So in some manner, they were doing a half right and a half wrong. But they could not pay the bride price. They got into it, and they could not pay the bride price. So the father of the woman sent a spirit to take the fruit of the marriage. Because the baby is the blessing. Hello? So it was collecting what was he thought was rightfully his. Hello? Hallelujah. And we begin to pray, and we begin to rebuke the devil. And you know, we had victory. Hallelujah. We left, right? 10 months down the road, I get a letter. Hallelujah. And the woman is telling, I wanted to wait until I had the evidence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she says, I can give you now the testimony of the evidence, and it is my daughter. Hallelujah. And they gave her an African name that means victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So I assume that child has a calling and an election to be victorious in her walk and in her relationship with God. Because it's a prophetic word. Hello? Hallelujah. So when he says, they that believe on my name. Hallelujah. Well, what is his name? His name by scripture is Emmanuel. Huh? Huh? What is it? They call him Yeshua, huh? Which means Savior, which means Prince of Peace. And there are many names that are attached to this. Every one of those names is a characteristic of a nature, of an aspect of his being. And if we believe that nature is accessible to us. Hallelujah. That is why Paul, in one of the letters to the churches, he says, little children, I travail again in birth that what? Christ be formed in you. Hallelujah. Was that just a symbolism? Is that just a symbolic term, a metaphysical thought? Is that just something that he pulled out of the air? Huh? Or did he believe the reality of it? Hallelujah. I believe he believed the reality of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have this glory. In the glory which thou gavest me. Oh no, I want to go back up. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I want us to take a look at that glory, please. I want to look at it in a more definitive manner. Now, the tabernacle and all of its accoutrements and the things that pertain to it all deal with the aspect of that nature. And you and I coming to partake of it in a manner by which we might assimilate it. Why do you eat? Why do you eat? I'm not a doctor, but why do you eat? You eat to put food into your belly for what purpose? Huh? That your body might work on it and do what it needs to do. To do what? To assimilate. Simulate. You take a vegetable, it's got iron, it's got calcium, it's got potassium, it's got niacin, it's got all of these things in it, and you eat the roughage of it, and you put it, and your body extracts all of those elements in that food for what purpose? To replenish your physical being so that you might be healthy, so that you might live another day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. You're looking at me funny. Oh my goodness. But I want you to understand the reality of what Jesus is saying concerning his disciples, concerning you and me. John chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. And the beginning was what? What word was that? In the beginning was the Word, and that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So, brethren, it's internal and external. Hello? It's internal. And it has the ability to work externally. Hallelujah. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the transition of this word that says word. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Okay. So now the Word that was God and with God is now a Him. It's now a Him. Hallelujah. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh my goodness. Do you understand the complication here? He made an eternal being who has no beginning, who has no end, hallelujah, created something that has a beginning and has an end. Hallelujah. Huh? Isn't that right? Are you eternal? In a physical sense? Hallelujah. So everything that He made that has a beginning and an end has an eternal purpose, has an eternal point, has an eternal objective. Come on, brethren. Say amen.
Amen.
Good. I know you're still there. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. I just want to read one verse up here in the beginning of chapter 1. Two verses. It says, verse 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Hallelujah. So you have the combination of God and man. Hallelujah. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is not only a declaration of who he was, but that is a prophetic promise that I can acquire and take for my calling and an election. Hello? Are you there? It's a prophetic promise. This book is a live book. It may be paper and ink, but it is a live book. It has strength, it has power, it has resurrection, it has healing. It has the ability to create in me the substance of what he called God. Hallelujah. This word. Hallelujah. And you know that's why they're trying to change it. You know that. That's why they're trying to change it with all these different versions they're coming out with. They even now have a generic Bible. It's neither he nor she. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I didn't get no reaction with that one, did I? For it says, all right, let's just go down. You can read the whole chapter, but I want to go down to verse 16. He says, "For I, Paul, am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Hello? It didn't say the gospel of God. Huh? He said the gospel of Christ. Why Christ? Because the gospel of Christ is something that pertains to humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a gospel that pertains to you and me. And it says, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power. Hello? How power. Now, I don't know if that word is dunamis or asousia. But whatever it is, asousia is an authority, an extreme position of authority. It is a potentate authority. You understand what I mean when I say potentate? It is a God authority. There is no authority greater than that authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if it is dunamis, hallelujah, that is where we get the word dynamite. It has the power to change something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. He says, wherein, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. When you were born again, you had to have a measure of faith. When you were baptized in water, if you were baptized, hallelujah, you have to have a measure of faith that put within you the desire to be baptized. And if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, what? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a measure of faith that you had to exercise in order for you to receive the blessing of that baptism. Hallelujah. So without my participation with God, the power of God doesn't work. Have you ever thought about that? I have to participate with God in a positive fashion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, okay. Then it says, the just shall live by faith. What if you're not walking in faith? Are you just? Okay. Hallelujah. If you recognize that position, do you want to stay in that position? No, of course not. I hope not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There is no addendum to that. Did you hear me? It means all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean some unrighteousness. It doesn't mean a lot of righteousness and a little unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. You see, God is not looking for a partway situation, a partway offering. He wants it all. And all of it has to be righteous. Hallelujah. Which is demonstrated here in the tabernacle by that fifth station, which is called the golden altar of incense. You know, there are two altars, two basic altars that are called altars in the tabernacle. The first one is out here, huh? The first one is out here, and it's called the brazen altar. This is where we meet God, and we are born again. We are saved by the word of God. We become believers. This is indicative of that position. This altar is a sin offering. And this altar is something that you and I cannot participate individually. It was something that Jesus Christ had to do. And only by Jesus Christ are we able to receive the position or the place of sanctification by which we might be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Ye must be born again. Hallelujah. But it says then you must not just be born again, but you must be born of the water, huh? Which is the brazen laver. Huh? You must be born of the water, praise the Lord, and of the Spirit before you what? Can enter. John chapter 3, verse 5. Huh? So, what if I'm not born of the water? What if I'm not born of the Spirit? Do I get to enter? Huh? Come on, brethren. It says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So my progress into God does not stop here. My progress into God does not stop here. I must continue my journey into the what they call the holy place, which is representative of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But we won't go into that right now. Hallelujah. He says here in, we're back into Romans again. Romans 1, because we're talking about the creative ability of God. I don't want you to remember. What God created has an eternal thought, has an eternal objective. I want you to understand that. Hallelujah. By Scripture, not by what I say. For wherein the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Okay, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed against ungodly righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's important. Hallelujah. You can hold the truth in unrighteousness. Huh? Think about that one for a while. Ask God to tell you what He means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm going on. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 19 is very important. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in who? Amen. Who's them? Humanity. Huh? Which is known of God is manifested in them. For God has showed it unto them. How did He show it unto them? For the invisible things, verse 20. For the invisible things. What are the invisible things? What are the invisible things? Those things that pertain to the spiritual realm in which God abides. And the totality of who and what God is. Right? Hallelujah. He says, for those invisible things, those that reality of God, those concepts, those precepts, those the reality of who and what God is in the aspect of His nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The invisible things of Him from the what? Creation of what? Hallelujah. Of the world. Hallelujah. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without a excuse. Hallelujah. I like to kind of emphasize this point with a little Bible story. One day Jesus was walking along, and there was a blind man that wanted to be healed. And he was pretty persistent about it, you know. Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. And they were trying to hush him, I believe. And they were trying to get him to settle down a little bit. And the more they tried to get him to settle down, the louder he got and the more vociferous he came. Hallelujah. You know, if we want something from God, we have to be tenacious. We have to be tenacious. We have to be determined. Now, we're not talking about physical things per se. This man was blind, and he wanted to be healed in his sight. Hallelujah. And it has a spiritual ramification. We need to be seeing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So, they brought the man to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, now, he heard him crying, right? I'm sure he heard him crying. He was yelling at the top of his lungs. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. And Jesus says, what do you want? Well, he was standing there before Jesus, obviously blind. You ever see a blind person? They didn't have color glasses then. Hallelujah. Evidently blind. He says, what do you want? And he said, very simply, that I might have my sight. Huh? Hallelujah. And Jesus prayed a prayer, and he ministered to the man, and it's the only place that I know of in the Bible where Jesus ever asked a man about how he was healed. Hallelujah. I haven't found another place. He says, what do you see? Well, he healed the man too good. He says, I see men as trees walking. He was seeing in the Spirit. He was seeing the reality of what it was God made as a tree. The Bible says, you shall be as trees of righteousness planted, what? By the waters. Hallelujah. He had to bring the man down. But he healed the man in such a fashion and such a way, and then had it recorded so you and I might understand the principle. Because, brethren, he saw you sitting here tonight. God saw you sitting here. You're sitting here because there is something in you that wants something more of God. There's something of a greater reality that is in your soul that is pushing you, pushing you, pushing you. Hallelujah. And some of you may be in tribulation and trouble. Hello? And you may be looking for an avenue out of that trouble. But what you do not understand or know, that Jesus Christ in the midst of that tribulation will be glorified in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If your heart is sighing and crying after the presence of a living God. Hallelujah. Maybe you did not know that it was available, but you will not leave here tonight without knowing, at least from what I am telling you, that what God has for you is available.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. No, your blood is not going to be on my hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and His Godhead. Do you understand what He's saying? He's saying these things that God made out here reveal the mystery of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hello? It reveals it. We just can't discern it. We see a tree and we think, oh, that's a nice looking tree. Hallelujah. Or we see a tree that's half dead. Huh? Hallelujah. What do you think about? When you see something, what do you think? If I'm thinking about men, I'm thinking about creation. I'm thinking about the sin, the jeopardy, and hell's mouth wide open to swallow a man in such a condition. Hallelujah. It should provoke me to pray. Not say, well, that sure is an ugly tree. Hallelujah. And it should provoke me to pray. Hallelujah. Because it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Hallelujah. Who was this Bible written for, brethren? Do you believe it's written for the heathen, or do you believe it was written for the believers? Huh? The believers. Do you believe that? So He's not writing to heathens. He's not writing to heathens. He's not writing to sinners. He's telling you and I, this is the condition of humanity in the church. And you have the power to do something about it. If you really want to do something about it, maybe you don't want to do something about it. That's all right. You have the will. You have the right to choose to do or not to do. It's your choice. And you know something? God is not going to intervene in that. Hallelujah. Because He wants you to be like Him. And that being like Him, dependent upon how we respond in our position of submission to Him. But in order to submit to Him, I have to submit to the on the horizontal level. Hello, how many of you are working? Probably most of you. Huh? You have an employer over you? You have a supervisor over you? Huh? Do they tell you what to do? Huh? Oh, sure they do. You have duties, you have rules, you have regulations. You might think you're your own boss, but you are governed by the higher authority. What if you don't do it? What if you choose to rebel? What if you choose not to do the report that you need to do? And they say, why didn't you do it? I just didn't feel like you, and I didn't want to do it. How long would you last? Huh? You'd be out the door. Hallelujah. There's probably 3 or 4 more standing in line to get your job. Hallelujah. But you have the right to do it. But you cannot change the consequence of your actions. Hallelujah. You cannot change the consequence of your actions. Oh, maybe in certain situations there will be mercy there if you humble yourself, but you have to humble yourself. Huh? You ever be caught in one of those situations? Oh, I'm so sorry. I just having a bad day, and all of this was going on, and I have this pressure. Then I really didn't mean what I did. Gee, please, would you give me another chance? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a son. I was a contractor for many years. I had a son who was working for me, and he was a very young man at the time, in his teens. He was working for me. And we were working, building houses, right? Well, one day I have him out there on the job, and he begins to tell me how to build a house. Now, he's been working for me about 6 months. I've been in the job for about 10 years. Huh? Hallelujah. But he begins to tell me, well, Dad, you can't do it this way. You have to do it that way, blah, blah, blah. And I said, son, please, this is the way I want to do it. Let's do it my way. Hmm? And then down the road, oh, Dad, you can't do it this way, that way, this way. You know, this went on for about a week to 10 days. Hallelujah. And one day he comes to work and he starts, and I said, son, stop. You're fired. He said, what? I said, you're fired. It's true. It's finished. Out the door. Now, what he didn't know, I had already gone to another contractor and asked him if he would hire him. Hallelujah. You know, God does that with us. You know, sometimes He puts us in this certain situation and chastises, but He's made some sort of provision in a different place, in a different locality, which may not be the same, and it may be something a little less than what we are accustomed to, but nevertheless, there's a provision that God has made for us. And I said, why don't you go over there to so-and-so and ask him for a job? I'll give you a good recommendation. So he went over there to see the guy, and the guy hired him, of course, right? You know, it was a week to 10 days, he came back to me with his tail tucked between his legs. And he said, "Dad, please, will you hire me back?" I said, "No." Because he had to learn his lesson. Hallelujah. And he made a choice. And the lesson I was teaching, I said, "Son, you made a choice. And that choice is irrevocable." Now, of course, that later he's turned out very well. Hallelujah. And he still loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we get along very well. Not that there haven't been rough spots, but we get along very well. And we have a choice to make. We have a decision in making that choice. And sometimes those choices are irreversible. Hallelujah. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "Harden not your hearts, as your fathers did in the day of provocation, and when they tempted me for 40 years. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter in." And it says, today, hear his voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says here, he says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imagination, their foolish heart were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish." You know, brethren, it really makes no difference how I perceive it. I look in the mirror, "Oh, you're doing pretty good today. You look pretty sharp, and you seem to be doing very well." It makes no difference how I perceive it. It makes no difference if somebody comes and, "You know, you're doing a good job here." And I want to say, "Oh, well, thank you. Well, praise God." But it makes no difference what they think. Hallelujah. It is what God sees. It's what God assesses. And I have to know that God is assessing me. Hallelujah. How is he assessing me? He's assessing me according to his thought of what it is he wants me to be. Hallelujah. What does God want me to be? God wants me and you to be a son. Huh? Romans 8, the chapter. Talks and deals with the aspect of a position or place of relationship. Let's turn over to Romans. And when you look at the tabernacle and you look at the journey that goes through it, you're not talking about getting into heaven. You're not talking about just a personal position of life. You are talking about sonship. You are talking about sonship. God wants sons. God don't want just Christians. God don't want church members. God wants sons. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Huh? Verse 26. What does he say? Huh? "Let us." Oh my goodness. "Let us." Who's us? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. "Let us make an agreement. Let us come into unity of purpose." You know, in the Bible, when you go through Genesis chapter 1, and it says, "God said," hallelujah. It's the word "God" is Elohim. And what it's saying is Elohim is the Greek, the Hebrew word for a plurality of gods. Hello? So it's gods. Hallelujah. And it says, "And Elohim said." And it's the only place that he definitively defined the Elohim. He said, Elohim said, "Let us." Hello? Hallelujah. So it was the Bible says a threefold cord in Proverbs. It says a threefold cord is what? Not easily broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit confine themselves for one purpose, for one goal, for one destiny, to accomplish one thing. To build a bigger church? Huh? To have Christians and denominations worldwide? Huh? To create NGOs for taking care of people's needs and doing the things that need to be done to make life a little more qualified for people? Quality life? All of those things are good, but are they the purpose? Are they objective of God? Hello? And I'm involved in a lot of those things. We have a school in the Philippines for indigent children. We have a work going on in Ethiopia for widows and orphans and single parent people. We are trying to start something here in that arena to facilitate the gospel of God, not to build a church. Hello? I'm not interested in building a church. I'm interested in building a body. Hallelujah. A body that is not under the headship of my organization. Can you hear me what I'm saying? Hello? Hallelujah. The headship. I have to point people to Christ. Hallelujah. I have to point people to Christ. I have to show people how to get to Christ. I have to lay out for them the roadmap. And I must explain to them how it is that they can do it. Hello? That's my job. Hello? Not formulating something here and formulating something there that I can brag that I have this and I've got this and I've got this and I've got that. Hallelujah. I got nothing. Hallelujah. It must be something that brings forth the revelation of the intent and the purpose of God. Hallelujah. How much more responsible am I if in the beginning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost came into a unity of agreement that we are going to do one thing? Does God change his mind? Do you think he really changed? Well, let's see. Does God change his direction? Does he change his purpose? My God doesn't. There may be variations that happen along the way, but the thought and the concept of what it is he wants is the principal goal in which he is working. And what did he say in verse 20? He said, let us make man. How? In our image. Huh? He didn't stop there, brother. In our likeness. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And the word likeness is not a metaphorical term. It is a term that means to be like God. Huh? You call yourself Christians, right? Hallelujah. I think you do, right? Yeah. Christian comes from the word Christ. It means to be like Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, well, you know, when somebody asks me about my position, I'm sometimes a little hesitant to say I'm a Christian. Because sometimes I don't demonstrate the nature of Christ. I say I'm born again. I'm baptized. I'm filled with the Spirit. And I'm working toward the nature of God. One day I'm going to be Christian. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. I say I'm Christian and I do something that is not like Christ at all. Huh? And there is a reproach on the church. Did you know that? Because they call themselves Christian and they're out there doing things that are entirely contrary to the nature of God. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time in my life that I thought, you know, I'd rather do business with a heathen than with a Christian. Hello? I don't know if that's been your experience. Hallelujah. I'd rather do business. A heathen, I know what I'm getting. A Christian, it's a big question mark. Hello? I've been robbed. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been maligned and all that because of Christians. Hello? I've got better reports from heathen about me than from Christian brethren. Hello? And yet they call themselves Christian. My God, they're bringing upon themselves their own condemnation. Hallelujah. I am to be like Christ. I am to be like God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants to incorporate me in His Godhead. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not on the peripheral. Not in some adjacent cubicle. Not one of the staff. He wants to incorporate me in the Godhead. Hello? John chapter 17. Go back over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. They said that they may be one. Huh? Isn't that what he says? It says, neither pray I for these alone. Verse 20, for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hallelujah. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in who? Us. Who's the us? Huh? Huh? Who's the us? Elohim said, let us. May God. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That they may be one. Hallelujah. And verse 22. And the glory. Oh my. Which thou gavest to me in verse number 5, in verse 5, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given. Not I am giving, not that I shall give, I have given. Hallelujah. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made what? Perfect in one. Hallelujah. And now, brethren, this is not talking about over the river. This is not talking about over into heaven. It says that who might know? Who might know? Huh? Who's going to know it? Who are you going to demonstrate it to? Are you afraid to say it? He says that the world. It's a now thing. It's present day. It's here in the nitty gritty. In the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all of the struggling and fighting, in the midst of all of the diabolical things in the darkness that is around us, that is going on. He says, I want you to manifest me in that environment. Hallelujah. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, brethren, if I am in that place, if you are in that place, how do you differentiate yourself from God and God from you? Philip came to him and said, "He said, Lord, show us the Father." Huh? What did he say? Huh? Philip, have I been so long with you? Huh? That you do not know? Hallelujah. That is, you see me. You see the Father. Oh my God. And he says to them, the glory which I had with thee in the beginning, I give it to them. I have given it to them. Hallelujah. 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 And as we go back over into Romans, because this is pertinent to the end of the story. Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. And we'll start at the 15th verse. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Hallelujah. He's talking about the fear of death. Hallelujah. Because if it's a reality to me, I'm not going to be afraid of dying. And I want to tell you, I haven't reached that point yet because I'm still afraid of dying. No matter how old you get, you're still, in fact, maybe the older you get, the more you can be afraid of it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. But I'm working on it. Hallelujah. He says, for we have not received again the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, hallelujah. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we are heirs. Heirs of God, and not just heirs, but joint heirs with God. I don't know how it is here in Uganda, but I know in a lot of different African nations, as well as the principle in Israel, which is the most important illustration, it was the firstborn that inherited everything that the father had. He inherited it all. Hallelujah. And if that person was benevolent, he could maybe dole out a little bit to the other siblings. But normally that doesn't happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes bitterness and resentment, I might as well mention it, it seems like the Lord is bringing it up. The bitterness and resentment can arise and cause a stigma for us in our relationship with God, in our relationship with our family. You know, I can tell you a little story about that, personal experience for me. But my father was very well-to-do. Very well-to-do. I had what we call ranches, but they were really almond ranches and peach ranches, where you grow peaches and you grow almonds, the nuts. And I worked for my dad. From a young lad, I worked for my dad. And it's hard work. And he always say to me, son, you're working for your inheritance. I think that was just because he was afraid I was going to raise the price of my labor or something. But you know, that was my dad. But he said, he always said to me, oh, year after year after year. And I was working. And that thought was a thought that was in my brain. I'm working for my hair. One day, all of this is going to be mine. Huh? And I had other brothers, but they had left and they were doing their own thing, and I was there helping Dad. Huh? Hallelujah. And working, you know, farming is hard work. Hard work. It's hard work. It's dusk to dawn sometimes, you know. And sometimes in the middle of the night, you have to get up and you go out. And peach trees is like taking care of a baby. Hallelujah. Because they're so susceptible to everything. And we have what we call brown rot that will come in a humid environment and start in one tree and spread like wildfire and destroy your whole crop. So you have to get out there and begin to spray this sulfur solution, you know, to try to arrest it. It gets in your eyes, it gets in your mouth, it gets everywhere, you itch and scratching and whatnot. And it's this type of work over and over and over and over. And I don't know, maybe it was 10 years, maybe it was 12 years or 15 years down the road, there was a catastrophe in our family, and Dad, the inheritance went south. And I was left with nothing. And I was very, very bitter about it. Very resentful. Hallelujah. And one day I went to God. I was a Christian at the time, and I had the basic concepts of this word. I went to God and I said, how could you do this to me? Have you ever said that to God? I said, how could you treat me like this? I'm supposed to be your son. Hallelujah. And you know, for a while God was silent. And one day I came again to him and I began to, a little more vociferously, a little more agitated, a little more intense. And you know, God spoke immediately. He said, I am your inheritance.
Amen.
I don't know, brethren, about you, but I went down on my face before God and repented. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is an inheritance that God has. Not over there. It's something I can begin. I am working for diligently. Well, maybe I could be much more diligent than what I am. But I am working with a thought and a reality that there is a position that has my name on it. And it's not my natural name. There is a new name, hallelujah, that the Father has for me. And I am changing the nature, at least I hope I am, hallelujah, the nature of this human vessel to conform to that name that no man knows except the Father. Hallelujah. My inheritance does not lie in my bank account. It doesn't lie in the car that I drive. It doesn't lie in the fact of the house that I live in or the clothes that I wear. Hallelujah. Or the food that I eat. Hello. Or the friends that I have or I don't have. My inheritance is in the reality of the thought or the concept that there is a position at the right and left hand of God that I can't step into.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it says, I'm not only an heir, I'm a joint heir. Hallelujah. I have a right to share in that position. And I have equality with Christ. With quality of God through Christ. Let me put it that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Uh-oh, here comes the definitive word. If so be that, I'll change it, if I am willing to suffer. Huh? It's qualified. When you don't like suffering, we don't like suffering. When I came into this message, we called it death to self. This was 40-some years ago. We called it death to self. Oh, boy, you don't get very many people you put death to self out there on the marquee of the building. This is the death to self church. And they just go, oh, my, look at that. Huh? Well, they changed it. They changed the tone of the message. It's called Sons of God. This is a Sons of God message. Oh, everybody wants to be a son. Put that out there. Everybody, oh, let's go in there. And we're going to be a son. Promises of prosperity and power and authority and a place of ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. And we haven't even ruled or reigned over our own spirit. Huh? We still have resentment, bitterness, and the desire to lord it over our brethren.
Yes.
We have we feel we have the right to be vindicated. Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then they change that. Well, maybe be a little bit too presumptuous. So they change it to the kingdom message. Oh my God. How much more can you ever eat something and it tastes like cardboard? Huh? Kingdom message. Oh, give me a break. Huh? Death to self. Hallelujah. I must die. That was the word that the Lord spoke to me years ago. Thou fool. You ever have God call you a fool? He said, thou fool. Do you not know that a corn of wheat must first fall into the ground and die? Die! And die, 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 die! Hallelujah. Or else it what? Abides alone. Huh? Hallelujah. 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 So it says, that if so be we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. We need that revelation. We need that truth. If you're following any other truth, you're following the wrong gospel. If you're not being fed with food that motivates you and excites you and pushes you to die in order to be better, you're following the wrong gospel. and in the time of trouble, that gospel will not save your physical soul or your physical being. Hallelujah. This word is the word that brings you to a position or a place of overcoming. Huh? Paul is one of the best biblical examples of that. Paul said of himself, I am a man born out of due season. What was he talking about? He was talking about a revelation of overcoming and a company of people at the end of the day who would have the power to destroy darkness and to enslave or imprison Satan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have testimonies all through Christianity of men and women. Hallelujah. Our best example is in Hebrews 11. He says, these all died with a good report. It means they stood fast, although they had not received that promise. They stood fast, and what they believed was the hope of their resurrection. Hallelujah. These all received a good report. Hallelujah. Not receiving the promise, and that they could not be perfected without us. Hebrews 11, hallelujah, in the 39th and the 40th verse, hallelujah. God is offering you and I something, but it's your decision. It's your choice. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel were being led out of Egypt, they didn't go as a ragtag band. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It says of them, they plundered Egypt. That means the Egyptians were paying them to leave. Hallelujah. Now, you would think, oh, they're going to build their own kingdom. But you know what they did with that stuff? Huh? They built the tabernacle. It was a whosoever will situation. If you had gold, it wasn't, you bring your gold and we'll use it for this tabernacle. If you have gold and you want to donate it to God, bring it here and we will do it. There is a position or a price, and I'm not talking about your natural money. There is a position and a price that we have to pay, and it may invade that arena. Hallelujah. But it's your decision. I trust that we will make the right decision.
Amen.
God bless you.
See you.